Appreciate the prayer offered publicly and ask you to continue to be in prayer for me as I endeavor to preach to you tonight. I'd like to begin by noticing a passage with you from Isaiah chapter 53 and beginning in verse 1. The prophet Isaiah would say, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant." This, of course, is descriptive of Jesus Christ. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." That is describing Jesus Christ in his earthly body and nature. There is no beauty that we should desire him. Then verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." I want to focus for a moment on that expression. Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What a description of his life while he was here on this earth for over 33 years. He was a man of what? Of sorrows. And acquainted with what? Grief. Sorrow and grief really captures the essence of his life while he was here on this earth. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And I think in order to help us understand why he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, the prophet goes on to tell us in verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord," now listen to this, "and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now my sins, my iniquities on him would have been enough to cause him sorrow and grief. But all of your sins were on him too. Not only the people in this building tonight who are his, but the sins of all of his people were on him. "And the Lord hath laid on him." Look at that. Just picture it in your mind. There he is on the cross, hanging there, crowned with thorns and naked shame, being falsely accused. And now God is going to lay on him the iniquity of us all. Can y'all see that tonight in your mind? If you can see that in your mind, you can understand why he was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But I've got some good news for us tonight. Because he was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and all of our iniquities were laid on him, and he suffered. He lived the life that we should have lived. He died the death that we should have lived. Because of all of that, now we don't have to be buried down in sorrow and grief. You know why? Because we've got a Savior. We have a victorious Savior. Now, if we didn't have a Savior, you and I would be justified to be the man of sorrows or the woman of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But that's not the case, beloved. We have a glorious, victorious Savior. So that now, I want to come over and read you a text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 in the New Testament. Paul would say to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 7 and verse 16, rejoice evermore. Now, did y'all get that? Rejoice how much? Every once in a while? On your birthday? At Christmas? Rejoice evermore. How can we rejoice evermore? Because we've got a Savior who loved us and died for our sins. He bore our iniquities in His own body. And He paid the sin debt that you and I could not have paid. And because of that, you and I can now rejoice evermore. And if you're not rejoicing all the time, you're not getting what is rightfully yours as a blood-bought, heaven-bound child of God. How many of y'all believe tonight that you're blood-bought? Bought with the blood of Jesus? How many of y'all believe you are? I believe I am. And because of that, I am bound for heaven. So with that truth, don't you all think I have a right to rejoice evermore? Now, if I don't have a Savior, or if I have a man who tried to save me, but he didn't get the job done, and now I've got to pitch in and help by keeping the law, I would be a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. I want to say tonight, the law, the perfect law of God, would condemn the best of us. I was talking to a neighbor this week, and we were talking about salvation, and he said, you know, God only wrote one thing with His finger, and that was the Ten Commandments. And if we'll keep them, I believe we'll get into heaven. I said, well, dear brother, there's only one problem with that. That law that God gave at Sinai, those Ten Commandments, they are perfect. A perfect God gave a perfect law, and that perfect law demands a perfect life. I said, are you perfect? He backed up. And he said, no, not quite. And the more he pondered it, I think the more he realized he's a long way from being perfect. And we got to talking about the children of Israel. When Moses came down from the mountain with those tables of stone, those Ten Commandments written on those tables of stone, you know what the children of Israel were doing down there while Moses was in the mountain? They had made them a golden calf, and they were dancing around it and worshiping that golden calf and saying, this is the God that brought us up out of Egypt. What were they doing? They were breaking the first of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What did Moses do with the law? The tables of stone. He threw them down and broke them. That's what Adam did. That's what Moses did. That's what they were doing as they danced around the golden calf. And that's what you and I have done. We've all broken the law of God. The law of God would condemn the best of us. But I'm glad to tell you tonight, the grace of God can save the worst of us. Can I get a witness? How many of y'all believe that? That the grace of God can save the worst of us. Amazing grace. And so, because of that, you and I can rejoice evermore. If I thought tonight that I had to keep the law in order to go to heaven, I would be of all men most miserable. I would. And I remember the state I was in, the state of mind I was in, when I thought I had to work my way to heaven. They call me Sad Sam for a reason, because I was sad, because I knew that I wasn't keeping that law good enough. But when I found out by the gospel of Jesus Christ that all of my sins were laid on Jesus, and he bore them in his own body and paid for them in full, and he loves me with a perfect love, and he's coming back to get me someday, I've been rejoicing evermore. Now, rejoicing evermore doesn't mean that you don't go through seasons of sadness and grief. I've seen tears shed in this church today, and by people who have lost loved ones, and I get that. I understand that. Life is hard, and we all have burdens and trials. But underneath all of our problems and all of our troubles should be an undisturbed joy that's right there all the time. Paul would say to the Philippians in chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord. Always. You know why? Because he's perfect. And if you could rejoice in him yesterday, you can rejoice in him today, because he's not changing. And you can rejoice in him tomorrow. I'm looking forward to rejoicing in my Savior tomorrow morning. What about y'all? Y'all going to wake up with the blues, with the Monday blues, or are you going to wake up rejoicing that you have a Savior who loved you and died for your sins? Or are you going to let the devil come and rob you of your joy? He loves to do that, you know. Satan wants all of us miserable, unhappy, murmuring, complaining, belly aching. Satan wants that. If y'all are that way, y'all making the devil real happy. How many of y'all want to make the devil happy? I don't. I want to rejoice in the Lord always. That is, at all times and in all circumstances, rejoice in the Lord. And Paul would say again, I say rejoice. I want to tell you, beloved, it's so enlightening in this troubled world to lighten up. It is. To just lighten up. And you know how you can lighten up? By doing what the Apostle Peter told us when he said, cast all your care upon him, he careth for you. Are y'all getting this? Those words of the Apostle Peter are relevant for us in 2021. Cast all your care upon him. He careth for you. How many of y'all are good at casting? Casting your care. Just put it on Jesus. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. And the Apostle Peter says, cast all your care upon him. He careth for you. That's a good song we could sing later tonight, Brother Donnie, if you can find it. I think there's a song in our book, isn't it? He cares for you, something like that. He does. He cares. He really cares. And you and I can cast our care upon him because he cares for us. I've told people through the years, don't be a Christian atheist. And I've had people say, well, what do you mean a Christian atheist? A Christian atheist is somebody who says they believe in Jesus, but they're worrying all the time. And they're living just like somebody that doesn't have a God. Is that too harsh? Come on, folks. We're talking about something tonight available for us in the midst of all of life's troubles, all of life's trials. We have a God in heaven that has promised something. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Are y'all connect? Am I connecting with y'all? I'd appreciate some smiles, because I'm telling y'all about something tonight you can smile about. You can leave here rejoicing. You can rejoice right now if you'll get this message. You may not rejoice in circumstances. You may not be rejoicing in the government, which I'm not. You may not even be rejoicing in your job or your health or your finances. But I can tell you one thing you can rejoice in. That is your God. Rejoice in the Lord always. I appreciate the nods I'm seeing tonight. Thank y'all. See, y'all preach to me. I'm not just preaching to y'all. Y'all are, right, Brother Wynn? Y'all have a message for the preacher. And it's encouraging when I see God's children getting the message and rejoicing evermore and not being a Christian atheist and going around like you don't have a heavenly Father who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And just cast all your cares upon Him. I know that's not easy to do. Our flesh is weak. Our flesh is full of worry and full of care and full of doubts and troubles. But you and I are to crucify the flesh and we're to walk in the Spirit of the living God and stay in the Word of God and be a witness to others about the sufficiency of God's amazing grace in your life. You know, the Primitive Baptist Church is refreshingly simple. Have y'all ever noticed that? When you come to church, to an old Baptist church, it's not complicated. You don't have to figure out when to stand up, when to sit, when to bow, when to do any of that. It's just very simple. We just open a song book and start singing to the praise of God. Y'all get, is that complicated? Is that enjoyable? It is. It's refreshingly simple to come to a simple church that God built. And you know what? The message is simple. It's simple enough for a caveman to get it. That salvation is by the grace of God, period. I believe cavemen could get that, don't y'all? Are y'all happy that salvation is by grace? I want to tell you three glorious truths. One is, we're not going to hell. Number two, we're going to paradise forever. And number three, it's all free and by grace. I want to tell you, that right there make me happy. Before I know it, I'll be smiling. Before I know it, I'll be happy. Because I've got a glorious Savior. And I'm not going to hell. My Savior went there for me. He suffered in my place. He paid the debt that I owed. He paid it in full. He washed me and made me whiter than snow. And He said to the dying thief there beside Him at Calvary, today shall thou be with me in paradise. From a dying cross to a glorious paradise. And He went there with Jesus by grace. Jesus came to save sinners and He went back to heaven with one of them with Him. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I'm so glad that thief was on that cross that day. Just to reveal to us how Jesus saves a sinner. That thief, he didn't have any good works. He wasn't a member of the church. He hadn't been baptized. He was getting what he deserved. He was a criminal. He was a thief. But I tell you, he didn't get what he deserved in eternity. He got something glorious. He went to heaven the same way you and I are going to heaven, by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I tell you, I enjoy preaching this message myself. It's a glorious message, and I know it's been a blessing to me through the years. So a simple church where we can come in and sing to the glory of God and hear a simple message about the amazing grace of God. And we can just be still. You know, in Psalm 8, I believe it's Psalm 46, the psalmist said, be still and know something. See, I don't know how many of y'all speeded to church tonight. I have been stopped by a patrolman one time going to church. I shouldn't confess that, but it's he had mercy on me. I know somebody that got stopped on the way to church and they invited the patrolman to go with them to church. And y'all would know who that is, but I'm not going to tell you. I'd be in trouble. But When you get to church, you can just be still. How many of y'all feel rushed right now? So you're just sitting there. You're not gunning it down the highway. You can be still, quiet, and know that He is God. Wow. And that's our job, is to stir up your pure minds and point you to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I love all the Psalms. I mean, they're all wonderful, but I love Psalm 8. It's just a psalm of praise. David didn't ask for the first thing in that psalm. He just praised the Lord. I love that. Do y'all ever just pray when you're just praising God? You're not asking for anything. You're not going to Him with any need. You're just praising Him. I want to tell you, beloved, that pleases God when His children just come to Him and praise Him in the midst of the earth. And the church is a place where sinners can be comforted. See, the church is a hospital for sinners. It's not a country club for Pharisees. You know, some people go to church and think, man, we have arrived. We are it. We are something. We're the saints. And y'all not welcome. No, the church is a hospital for broken sinners. And it rejoices my heart when I see people coming to church that I know have spent their lives in ways they shouldn't have. And now they're coming to God's house to try to get things straightened out. Does that bless you all? It does me. Jesus certainly did welcome the sinners, didn't He? Now, hospital's not a place where you go to get sicker. You go to a hospital to get better. And we want people who come to church to get better, to straighten out, to repent of their sins, and start seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is a hospital for sinners. I remember Elder Daugherty used to talk about the gospel, P-I-L-L. In other words, when you hear the gospel of your salvation, it's like a happy pill. I mean, it just cheers you up. It's a glorious thing. And God's children, I saw something yesterday in Cochrane that just really I enjoyed looking at. It was a sign about the importance of a smile, and it reminded me of Orphan Annie. How many of y'all ever saw that movie, Orphan Annie? And Orphan Annie would sing a song, and she would say, "You're never fully dressed without a smile." I love that. Are y'all good at smiling? You say, "Brother Sam, I ain't got nothing to smile about." Yes, you do. You've got a Savior. You're on your way to glory. You're never fully dressed without a smile. Some preachers, sad to say, are travel agents for guilt trips. I've heard them. Man one time in Birmingham told me, he said, "My pastor has preached on hell for 5 weeks in a row." I said, "That's just too much hell for me." Listen, we need to understand there is a hell, and we'd be going there without God's grace. I understand that. But just to dwell on that, not me. And that preacher was trying to get people to do something to stay out of hell. I'm glad to tell y'all, Jesus did something to keep us out, and He was successful. I heard a woman say one time her mother-in-law was a travel agent for guilt trips. Well, I know some preachers that are. But our job, beloved, is to comfort. Isaiah chapter 40, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably, Jerusalem. Tell her warfare is accomplished. Her sins are pardoned, and she's to receive double for all her sins. And I'd like to preach on that. But you know, last Sunday night, Brother Wynn wasn't up here but 30 minutes, and he preached a full sermon. And I thought, uh-oh, they're going to expect me to preach 30-minute sermons now. I was going to do that this morning, and I missed Brother Wynn. I went beyond 30 minutes. I don't know how much further I went, but anyway, I want to try to wrap this up here in a little while tonight. I know we're living in a broken world. I understand that. It's broken physically. Our bodies are broken. It's broken mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It's a broken world that we are living in. But we've got a glorious Savior. He's not broken. He's not wounded. He's not. He is not. So, beloved, if you and I would just stay focused on our glorious Savior and what He's done for us, you know what that does to me? It motivates me to try to be a better person. It does. People say salvation by grace would encourage people to sin. Well, I believed it for 55 years. It's never encouraged me to sin. Has it, y'all? It just makes me want to love Him more and serve Him more in this present life in which we are now living. So, as I said this morning, let your light shine. It may be a little light, but let it shine. Y'all are letting your light shine tonight. These children being here. I want to thank y'all. These children. Y'all are letting your light shine just by being here. It shines to me. It's a bright light. You older folks, y'all got a light. You're letting it shine tonight. Thank y'all for being here. Letting your light shine. Sin complicates life. Have y'all noticed that? When people are willfully, deliberately sinning, it just complicates everything. You take a married person cheating on their spouse. Brother, that just complicates their life. They got to hide. They got to always be looking over their shoulder. It's sin complicates life. But I want to tell you, when you stay focused on your Savior and try to follow in His steps, and let your light shine, you become a weird person to this world. And I want to encourage all of y'all to be weird to this world. First of all, by not worrying. This world will think you crazy if you're not worrying. That's right. They will. They'll people think, man, he's a lunatic. He's not worried. Be weird to this world. Cast all your care upon Him, knowing He cares for you. Be kind. Now, if you really want to make people suspicious, just be kind. Just be real kind to everybody. You say, I can't do that. No, you can't in the flesh, but in the spirit, you can. You can actually turn the other cheek. You can pray for your enemies. And so be weird by reading your Bible. I want to tell you, this world thinks you are crazy to read this old book. Somebody told me the other day, said, Eric, that whole book was written by Jews. And that's true. Some think Luke was a Gentile, but really, I heard Brother Sonny Piles make a good argument one time that Luke was also a Jew. But this fellow was saying, you know, I know this is going, this is on the World Wide Web, so I better be careful. But he was saying that the Jews are causing all the troubles in the world. Well, I'm not agreeing with that. But he was arguing. He said, you can't trust the Bible. It was all written by Jews. And he would think me crazy because I love this book. I love it. It's my meat and my drink. And I know y'all love it, or you wouldn't be here tonight, right? So be weird to this world by reading your Bible. And be real weird by praying to your Heavenly Father. And if you really want to look weird, go to church every Sunday. Amen. Thank you all for your attention. We have a glorious Savior. I don't believe He's the man of sorrows tonight, y'all. He's in glory. He's at the Father's right hand. He's rejoicing. His work as Savior is over. He's coming back to get us. We praise Him and thank Him. Thank you all for your wonderful attention.